For the rest of us, would you turn with me to Jeremiah 5, verses 26 through 31 is where we're going to begin this morning. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 26 through 31. We will be looking at several other scriptures as well. Going to get real this morning. Is that okay with everybody?
Yes.
Message that God has put on my heart, he really stirred me up on Monday, big time. And I was sitting at my computer desk working, and the dam broke, man. I just started weeping for the state of things. And one of the things that's tough is I've never dealt with rejection very well. That's one of my weaknesses, chink in my armor. Part of the reason for that, I think, is growing up, whenever my dad was mad at me, he told me I'd never amount to anything. Hard to get over that. I've come a long ways. But I really think that has something to do with the rejection thing. I preach to the best of my ability what God puts in my mouth. I promised him I would over 25 years ago. And I've always done my best to try to do that. However, sometimes people don't like that. So, and the people that you're closest to are the ones that can hurt you the worst. How many of you understand that? When I have preached messages about the evils in our world, and a lot of that evil now is as well in our government. But people that are hypersensitive to that, when I have preached about the sin in our government and our responsibility as Christians, there's families that have taken offense at that and said, well, he's just too political. Well, what that tells me when someone feels that way is they must be of the persuasion that they're voting for the party that is most full of the sin. However, both are not where they should be. Am I making sense so far?
Yes.
2 months ago, we had another family leave for the same reason. I keep being told by other pastors and other people, well, don't take that personal. Well, when they leave because of what I'm preaching, how else are you going to take that? Oh, it falls on these shoulders. But even though I struggle with rejection, when I know in my knower that I have preached what God has called me to preach, that's a healing balm to have that knowledge. So, I never have preached a message where I set out to get political, even though I've been accused of it, because addressing sin has spilled into our government. And should. The message God put on my heart, I've entitled today, Light versus Darkness. Because that's what I'm actually preaching about. Light versus darkness is what I'm actually preaching about. righteousness as opposed to sin, if you choose to say it that way. So, we'll begin by reading Jeremiah 5, 26 through 31. Beginning to read. Among my people are wicked men who lie in wait like men who snare birds and like those who set traps to catch men. Sounds familiar already, doesn't it? Like cages full of birds, their houses are full of deceit. They have become rich and powerful and have grown fat and sleek. Their evil deeds have no limit. They do not plead the case of the fatherless to win it. They do not defend the rights of the poor. Should I not punish them for this, declares the Lord? Should I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? A horrible and shocking thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy lies. The priests rule by their own authority. And my people love it this way. But what will you do in the end? Let's pray together. Lord, we pray for this morning that, Lord, this word comes forth the way you fully intended it to. I pray, Lord, that you will step forth and reveal yourself in this message to each and every one of us. That, Lord, where we need conviction, bring conviction. And where we need healing, bring healing, Lord. Lord, put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words that you have ordained for this morning. Not a word more, a word less. And all leading to you being glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that clock has went a long ways already, so I'm going to have to be careful here when I get my preach on. That I don't take us till we have somebody falling out the window, like happened in the Bible. I believe in the power of the resurrection, and I believe in raising the dead. I believe in healing the sick, but I don't want to preach on so long that anybody falls out the window and we got to raise somebody from the dead. That being said, This passage will preach. Think about where we're at today, guys. Their houses are full of deceit. They have become rich and powerful. This might have been written today. It was written all those years ago. It might have been written today and speaking to those that are in government and supposed to be leading the people righteously and have turned to being houses full of deceit, have become rich and powerful, and have grown fat and sleek. Makes me think of Pritzker. Did I say that out loud? Sometimes I can't help myself, guys. I asked you before I started if it's all right if I got real today. Did I not? Here we are. Their evil deeds have no limit. None. There are no limits. The evil deeds that are taking place in this world. The human trafficking, including child trafficking, that is going on under our noses, and we turn a blind eye to it. I'm here to tell you right now, every drop of blood, innocent blood, that is being shed, is crying out from the ground to a holy God. How do you think that will end? If you want to know where I got that idea, look in Genesis. Look in Genesis. I'm not going to give it to you. I want you to read all of Genesis. I'm just trying to get you to read your Bible. Evil deeds have no limits. The mutilation sexually of children. Without telling parents. The grooming that is taking place in the classrooms. Thank God for the Christian teachers that we have in our nation. Thank God for the many Christian teachers we have in this church. We have more teachers per capita, God-fearing teachers per capita in this church, per capita than any church I know of. We have a bunch. We're blessed. But outside of that, in this nation, the classroom has become a place, and our schools have become a place that are not places of learning, but places of indoctrination. And it's got to stop. Number one move in stopping it, prayer. We got to be adamant in prayer. We need that prayer night on election night. But not only that, we need prayer all the time. We need to ask, seek, and knock like the Word tells us to. Amen? So the prophets prophesy lies. How many of you have seen that in the day that we're living in? The priests rule by their own authority. And then here's the frustrating part, and here's where we're at today. I'm going to talk about this particular thing later in this message, but goes on to say, and my people love it this way. See, the problem isn't only with the pastors that have gone off the rails. It's a problem with woke pastors, yes? But there's also a massive problem in the pews. See, in a culture, what is going on in the culture boils up to the top. So the leaders are birthed out of the culture. Am I making sense? Yes. So we have a responsibility as citizens of the kingdom of God, being born again, to live, stand up, speak what God's word says, and select people with policies that line up with God's word instead of opposing it. Don't be fooled by people that say, well, yeah, well, me and him, we're Christians too. Really? And you're for killing babies right up to the day of birth and beyond. You're fine with them just letting them lay there and die. You're fine with that. Really? And you're a Christian. How's that work? My people love it this way. I like that last short sentence. When God says, but what will you do in the end? Woo! How many of you know that it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God? We see that throughout the Word of God, but people don't want to hear that today. See, this won't ever sell CDs. Not that we've ever sold one anyway. We give them away. If you want a CD of this message, you just sign up the sheet down there on the bulletin board and you can have a CD. But not many people sign up for these kind of messages. We want to hear how good we are. We want to hear about how we can get rich being a Christian. We want to hear about all the wonderful things, the cake and the ice cream and the cherry on top too. We want to hear preachers that are always smiling and say, it's all good. Somebody might know what I'm talking about. It's all good. In the end, that ain't going to get it. And it won't be all good. Second Corinthians 6, 14 through 16. I just can't spend more time on that passage, or I'm going to have you here too late. But I'm not going to cut this message to pieces because we're running a little late. All right? So if you have to go somewhere, just get up. I won't be offended. Just get up and go. But I'm going to finish this message because God gave it to me. Corinthians 6, 14 through 16 says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. No. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. What fellowship does light have with darkness? None. Light and dark can't coexist. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where it was so dark that you can take your finger and put it clear up here and you can't see it. I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of dark. I was in that kind of dark outside in Africa. It was a cloudy night and we were out in Bunda, which is way out of the city, out in the middle of practically nowhere. And I'm telling you, that's the kind of dark that's spooky. And then what really freaked me out was I started hearing hyenas, and they were getting closer. I was groping around trying to find the car, because I was getting in the car. You know what I'm saying? But in that darkness, that kind of darkness, all you got to do is light a match, and it dispels the darkness. Even a match in that kind of darkness dispels darkness. Something that small of a flame. God is light. The Greek is phos. God is phos. When he comes in, he dispels darkness. Our problem is God will not coexist with evil. And he is the light. We need a revival in this nation, maybe worse than we ever have. We need a revival that leads to another reformation. Because we need a reformation. Yes. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? That's Satan. That's another name for Satan. He's got a lot of names. I got a few that you can't say in the pulpit. Do you understand what I'm saying? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? You've got to guys haven't figured out yet, if you have taken a stand as a believer, and you're doing what I've been calling people to do for years, you're standing up and you're speaking up. If you're doing that, you're getting pushback resistance, aren't you? From specific people. Brian's sitting down here, I'm not going to repeat it, but he just told me he had an experience of that the other day. Out in his backyard, minding his own big business, grilling. All he did was had a sign out in front of his house that somebody didn't like. I'll leave it there. You can talk to Brian later. That's all he did. You take a stand for Christ, you can expect to be under attack. Expect it. With God being your glory and your rear guard, you got nothing to worry about. Well, that's my introduction. Major point number one, what does light represent and what does darkness represent? Let's address darkness first. Darkness represents the unknown. And by the way, I usually look things up in a really good dictionary, but I was led this time when I was working on this sermon to Google it, because I realized most people anymore don't even own a dictionary. They just Google it. So I thought, I'm going to see what Google has to say about this. So this definition that I'm about to give you about darkness, and also when we get to the light part of it, is what came up on Google. Okay, so darkness represents the unknown. That makes sense. Next one, it says it represents ignorance. Okay, I think I'm getting right on board with this. Darkness represents ignorance. Alright. Darkness also represents despair, according to this. Well, I guess I'd have to agree with that too, because I'm seeing some darkness starting to get pretty desperate. You can tell in the things that they're doing, because election days get close. Check this one out. Next one it says is falsehood. What's falsehood? Lies. Who's the father of lies? Isn't he darkness?
Yes.
I think we're getting somewhere. Goes on to say, well, it said falsehood and then and evil. Now this is on Google. This isn't from a Bible dictionary. I did not turn to my Smith's Bible Dictionary or all the other ones that I have available to me. I didn't do that. I Googled it. And by golly, I'm not saying Google has everything right, but I think they nailed this. What do you think? In the Bible, it says, I'm still giving you what I got off Google. In the Bible, darkness is associated with spiritual blindness. Hey, they're still nailing it. But in spite of it, they don't get it. Seeing but never perceiving. I think I read that in the Word somewhere. Okay, so darkness is associated with spiritual blindness, comma, rejecting God's standards. There it is. I keep telling people, vote policy, vote policy, vote policy. Not personalities. It's not a personality contest. If you vote for personality, I said this a couple weeks ago when I was preaching. If you voting for personality when you want a pastor, I probably wouldn't be standing here. Vote policy. Comma, and being directed by ignorance, falsehood, and unrighteousness. That's what Google says the Bible has to say. Well, you would think the people that put this together for Google would then be able to have some understanding about spiritual things. But there's a disconnect that happens. People know things here, but it's a disconnect when there should be a 12-inch drop or there's about to the heart. And they end up seeing but never perceiving. Why? Because the spirit of Baal is so entrenched in the world right now that it's got blinders on people's understanding. And it's up to us who understand it to pray the blinders off of people so that their eyes will be open to the truth.
Yes.
Yes. Jeremiah 5, 11 through 13. You still with me?
Yeah.
I don't want anybody to fall asleep. Only because I don't want you to miss any of this. It's God's word, man. Jeremiah 5, 11 through 13 says, "The house of Israel and the house of Judah have been utterly unfaithful to me, declares the Lord. They have lied about the Lord. They said, 'He will do nothing. No harm will come to us. We will never see sword or famine.' The prophets are but wind, and the word is not in them. So let what they say be done to them." Now this is God's word. Okay? Now, here where it says, people lied about the Lord and said, "He will do nothing." That's the attitude today. There's an attitude today, even among believers. They want Him as Savior, but it's not too many people that want Him as Lord. And if He is not Savior and Lord, He's not Savior. He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. Said, "We'll never see sword or famine." People say that today. They're not speaking in those terms. You've got to translate it to today. But it means the same thing. No harm will come to us. We can live the way we want to. Wrong. There's a day of reckoning. Lied about the Lord. About the prophets. I find it interesting. You know, God's got a sense of humor because clearly it was Jeremiah the prophet that brought this forth, but this is a word from God, right? The prophets are but wind. You know what he's saying? They're just wind bags. Don't listen to them. That's what he's saying. They're about wind. He, you know, the only thing he didn't say was bags. I'm saying wind bags. So that's what darkness represents, guys. I think God's word, clearly, always does a good job. But I thought Google did a pretty good job. They nailed it. Now, how about light? Well, what they got to say about that is light represents hope. I'm down with that. That's That's right. We just had a word from the Lord that involved Him mentioning about hope. That He is the God of hope. Don't walk in hopelessness. Don't say there's no more hope. Because He's the God of hope. So, okay, so far, they nailed it. Comma, renewal. Light brings renewal. Comma, intellectual illumination. Light brings intellectual illumination. Light brings truth and righteousness. I gotta agree with all that. I think it's accurate. Okay, so then in the Bible, it says, light is associated with being directed by what is good and right. Well, you gotta agree with that, don't you? And it goes on to say, comma, and studying the scriptures. Isn't that interesting? Being directed by what is good and right and studying the scriptures. I was amazed that it had all of this in Google. Now you guys can check me. Let me tell you how I Googled, and you'll find out. I just Googled light versus darkness. That was what I Googled, and this came up. Jeremiah 5, verse 14, we were just in 11 through 13, let's skip down to 14. It says, therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty says, because the people have spoken these words, I will make my words in your mouth a fire, and these people the wood it consumes. What he's saying is, I'm going to put words in your mouth that when you speak them, they're going to go forth like flames and burn the people, the evil ones that have spoken against God. God's word has that ability. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Second major point. Where are they today? This question I'm asking is, where are the preachers today that will take a stand against the evils of the day? I took this from a post, what I'm about to share with you, from a post by Pastor Shane Eidelman, and he posted it on the stream. How many of you are familiar with the stream? Oh, I gotta get you guys on board. Oh, you guys need to know about the stream. The stream is led by Huckabee. Mike Huckabee. Do you know who Mike Huckabee is?
Yes.
You on board with me now?
Yes.
All right, that's who heads up the stream. Google the stream. Every day there are several posts by solid people. Shane Eidelman is one of those people. This particular post was in the stream on September 20th. Of this year. I was so moved by it, I printed it and saved it because I thought sometime I'm going to want to use this. So I took this excerpt from it. Where are the preachers today that will take a stand against the evils of the day? Where are the Isaiahs and Jeremiahs calling nations to repentance? Ephesians 5, 11 through 14. He referenced this passage. Says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. What's a preacher supposed to do?
Expose them.
So am I standing on solid ground when I preach against the darkness in our world today and expose it?
Yes.
Thank you. For it is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Oh boy, we need some of that in our nation, in the world, but let's talk about our nation for a moment. All right, secondly, where are the Peters and Pauls who spoke with such authority that martyrdom did not silence them? Though they are dead, they still speak. Third, where are the Tyndales and Husses who were burned at the stake for simply declaring the truth? Number four, where are the Whitfields who shook continents? Number five, where are the people like John Wycliffe who stood so unyielding for the truth he was called the Morning Star of Reformation? Number six, where are the John Wesleys who said, give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and we will shake the gates of hell? Where are they? Where are they today? Number seven, where are the David Brainerds who spent so much time in prayer that even the great Jonathan Edwards was convicted? Number eight, where are the Spurgeons who spoke with such authority that his sermons are read more today than ever before? Number nine, where are the D.L. Moody's who brought America to her knees? Number 10, where are the Puritans like Richard Baxter, who said with such humility, I speak as a dying man to dying men? That's the end of what I borrowed from Shane Eidelman's post. Number three, third major point, God is calling preachers to stand up and speak up. And not only preachers. Preachers need to stand up and speak up. And then as a result of that, the people in the pews need to stand up and speak up. We need to get back to understanding when we come to church and get built up, when we go out those doors, I've threatened to do this. Someday, don't be surprised if you look up above those doors and you see a sign that says, you are now entering your mission field. It could happen yet. Because that's the reality of it. It's the way it's supposed to be. We come, we fellowship, we meet with God, we worship, get built up in our spirit, and then we go out those doors, and when we go out those doors, we're entering our mission field. We got to get back to that mentality, guys. Our world needs us. They need us. Our world is dying. Like he said, Richard Baxter, I speak as a dying man to dying men. That is the reality of it. We are all terminal. In these bodies, we're all terminal, every single one of us. Acts 20, verses 28 through 30. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Acts 20, verses 28 through 30. Let's go through 31. Acts 20, verses 28 through 31. And it says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he brought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare your flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Well, I don't know how many of you know this, but Luke is the one that wrote the book of Acts. He wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. So it's Luke here speaking. He's giving instruction to shepherds. This is the responsibility that everyone that calls themselves a pastor or a shepherd, this is the responsibility they're called to. I would say there are way too many that are not rising to that call. Would you agree with me to that?
Yes.
We need to pray for them. In closing, recently at a rally in Wisconsin, Kamala was making a word salad, and while she was speaking, she declared the glory of abortion. The crowd, which had been subdued till then, began cheering wildly in favor of killing babies. This is true. Absolutely true. You can find the video online. When the cheers died down, a man in the crowd shouted, "Jesus is Lord!" And Kamala's response was, she taunted the man by saying, "You're in the wrong rally." By her making that statement, she was telling every believer in this nation not to vote for her. Because you're in the wrong rally if you do. She don't want you. She don't want me. And if we ended up with that, God help us. All right? Now you need to understand, I'm sharing with you what she said. In response to someone that only said, "Jesus is Lord." She knew that he was a Christian by his proclamation. When she made her proclamation, she made it abundantly clear that if you are a true Christian and you are thinking about voting for her, you're in the wrong place. I want to close with this statement. Never let someone who has done nothing tell you how to do anything. Agreement?
Yes.
Are we in agreement?
Yes.
I'm so glad that Monday, sitting at my computer beginning to work on a sermon, that he broke me down and poured this into me. We need it. We need it. We need to hear from God. I hope you are moved from the top of your head all the way to the tips of your toes. Because, guys, we've got a mission because we serve a God of hope. He's not a God of despair. He's a God of hope. Let's pray together. Father, as we leave this place, help us to stay mindful that we really are entering our mission field when we leave here. We thank you, Lord, that you have spoken to us today. You have fed us today. You've given us revelation of you today. Through tongue and interpretation. And Lord, we are so blessed, and we give you all the honor, glory, and praise for it. And Lord, bring us back safely next time. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.